SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline with the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM channel 159.
Oh, the best hour of the day. Officially, it's underway. It's Donnie and Kevin. It is the madness of NFC-AFC Championship weekend. The fallout that ensues. And the Super Bowl that's on deck within 2 weeks. There's so much to get to. So much fun to go over, Kevin. And we'll just start here. Yesterday, yeah. We were on the desk yesterday. Had a great show, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. yesterday live, which I believe was rerun from 12 to 3 o'clock. A lot of great information that was spread all the way across. And for me, it just felt simple in these games. Broke down the Philadelphia Eagles game. Understanding why I thought they were the better football team and why they would win. Counterpoint number two, the Buffalo Bills and the Chiefs. I said, what are you doing here? Kansas City Chiefs at home just to win that football game, and they end up winning there. But we have so many topics, so many plays to go over these games, Kevin. But the way you saw it yesterday, when you got home and it was time to turn that TV on and the national anthems were playing and ready to roll, how did we feel?
Yeah, there was just a lot of anticipation, you know. I was really excited for these games, and it was a team in Washington that I wanted to play. You know, I tweeted out, I believe it was after Washington beat Tampa, like, man, it's a shame the Eagles won't get to end their season. That was before Philadelphia had even played Green Bay. Or no, Philly had already played Green Bay, but that was obviously knowing that those teams weren't going to meet within that round. I had wanted to play Washington in the 2-7 the entire time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I knew we were better than Washington.
Yeah.
And the Philadelphia Eagles put on display that they were much better than the Commanders. And it's one of those things, man, that opening drive, you know, good for Washington to have the confidence that they do to go and convert those third downs. But this is where, and I know we'll get into the second game, but this is where not just grabbing the result is going to get the job done. It's the process along the way. Washington was not going to win a football game against the Philadelphia Eagles by going 2 yards, 2 yards, 4 yards, 2 yards. That's just not sustainable offense. And it wasn't sustainable offense. Meanwhile, the Philadelphia Eagles were clicking from the word go. And I'll make sure I say this so I don't forget to say it. Jalen Hurts comfortably outplayed Jaden Daniels in the NFC Championship game.
He did. Now, let's understand this game, right? So I'm driving home, putting my orders for pizzas, cheesesteaks, starting to get revved up in the car. Hearing notions out of Philadelphia that Cam Jurgens was having back issues, but he was working out on the field. And one of the beat writers goes, I've never seen this before for a guy that would be, let's just say, inactive. He's wearing his game pants and stretching. Usually that's an indicator of he's ready to go, not like, let me test this out in some sweat shorts before I even get ready. Next report comes out. Oh, looks like it didn't go well. He's going to be inactive. Next report comes out on the official inactives. Cam Jurgens is actually active for this game. And I understand, like, when you're going through the trepidations where we told you all week long, The MO for which I got to laugh at, and I still laugh at it now, is, well, the Commanders have Jaden Daniels. If Hurts throws for like 32 yards and gets injured and the Eagles turn him over 9 times, then the Commanders will win. Which again, 7 out of every 10 tickets were coming in on the Commanders based upon that theory, which I thought was funny. But then I was like, you know what? Landon Dickerson doesn't play center. He's not going to snap it in the biggest game. And what happens if he gets injured, which you end up doing? How is that going to play out? And then we get to the game itself, Kevin. And you're right. I watched the same as you. I'm like, you know what? Interesting first drive for Washington, where they are earning every single 6 inches they are getting here. And you know what I said to myself? Because my dad was watching with, wow, they're going for a 4th and 5 ago. This is what they do. Only for them to get into the red zone, Kevin, after 17 plays and go, 4th and 3, it's time for the field goal. I was very surprised by that because I don't. If it was 7-0 Washington after 22 plays, like that's a come out gut punch right away. We're going to be in your face all day, and we're going to put the pressure on you. I felt like that was a big miss because even if Washington went 18 plays or 19 plays and ended up not getting any points, was the three that big? Because you got to get the points. You do.
Yeah. Let me tell you something, Donnie. This is going to be a take. I think I'll be on a bit of an island.
Yeah.
That decision by Dan Quinn,
mm-hmm.
Washington has themselves a great head coach. He is a phenomenal head coach, DRS. Because what you just said, and look, I'm not trying to knock you, okay?
Yes.
I'll take the broadcast, though.
Okay.
Broadcasts do not understand that going forward on fourth down is supposed to be a decision that you just are making a new decision each time, right? Mm-hmm. But broadcasts go, they go for every fourth down. They go for every fourth down. So Brady and Burke are like, I don't know what's going on. I was watching that game and I go, they should take their points here. It's not fourth and a short two. It's fourth and a long three. You're on the road. You grab your field goal. You've already now converted multiple fourth down, multiple thirds down. This isn't easy. You don't want to leave this drive without points. You're moving the football. It's a long game. Donnie, and you can disagree with me. That's fine. You can totally. But my point is, Donnie, Dan Quinn actually made a decision. Dan Quinn did not show up with, we just go for every fourth down. He's not Dan Campbell. That was somebody, Donnie, who actually was making a decision. I thought he made a good one. You can disagree. Again, that's totally fine. But I thought he made a good one. At minimum, Donnie, he showed that he's thinking each time he's faced with a decision, not just pressing the red button.
No, and look, and maybe he thought that was the right move at that point. But the one counterpoint that I would always come back to is, and I don't know if people don't watch the games, which I know they do. Washington has a bad defense.
Yeah.
It's a bad defense. It has some good players on it, but it's an overall bad defense. When you're trying to win those games, like, again, if you would have just kept going on fourth down, and again, I'm not asking you to be Dan Campbell, just be stupid about it. And late in the game, maybe, Kevin, it would have been a little bit different. Like, hey, you know what? I got to get this field goal here because, you know, we can get a potential one-point game. I just felt that in that moment, like, you would have really struck a chord and said, wow, 22 plays and a touchdown, four fourth down conversions. We're going to be here all day to play. But granted, they got the points. They had the lead. And it's like, okay, shifts back to the Eagles. What do we get? You come out, one pitch play to Saquon Barkley, puts it in the house, and nothing makes sense with Saquon Barkley, which is what he's doing, which I've said multiple times on the early line. I don't care what LaDainian Tomlinson did with touchdowns. I don't care what O.J. Simpson did back in the day, or Eric Dickerson, or Derrick Henry, or anybody that's got 2,000 yards. You are actively watching the single greatest running back season in the history of professional football right before your eyes. You're not supposed to do this. I don't care if the defense is great, good, bad, poor, whatever. Yeah. You're not supposed to take the opening toss sweep and juke the entire football team on Washington on the way to another home run, where now the expectations are, man, he only got 115 yards. What was wrong with him in that game? He only had 15 carries, 3 touchdown runs, which included, and say what you want. Games do, and we're going to go through game by play by play, same thing with this game and the Bills games, because there were massive plays that were made on both sides. But you can say, Kevin, right? Let me go 18 plays, kick that field goal. Let's 3 and out the Eagles. And really put that stadium a little bit on edge with the doubt in 100%. That factor. And within one play, and I know the Eagles won by a big margin, but it almost felt like, oh, the Eagles are fine today. Like, that's the feeling I got from the first play. That 18 plays to one, the Eagles had a lead, and I'm like, they're in command.
Donnie, the Eagles have hardly trailed within this postseason. So, and that was another reason I thought the field goal was good, because now we went into the Eagles' opening drive, and it's like, all right, we can't do the slow start things again. We fixed that. Underrated thing again. Nobody understands the Philadelphia Eagles, clearly, right? The Eagles, remember when they used to start slow all the time?
Mm-hmm.
They're now one of the best fast starting teams in all of football. And it's been a huge change for them, Donnie, throughout this season.
55 points, the most ever scored in a championship game by the Philadelphia Eagles, who, I don't know if they can pass. They ran 7 touchdowns into the end zone, which included Will Shipley to end it. My goodness. We're going to talk about this and much more right back here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Certainly got what I wanted yesterday. I was just asking for, you know what? Let the Eagles win that game number one so I can really enjoy game number two. And the fact that I got to sit back with my feet up with about 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter of the NFC Championship game, which, by the way, starting to become a repeat offense for the Philadelphia Eagles. If you go all the way back to 2004, double-digit victory at home at the Link in the NFC title game against Atlanta, and then the next home game they had was 2017, which they absolutely smashed the Minnesota Vikings, Laffer into the second half. Then they absolutely smashed the San Francisco 49ers at home, Laffer in the second half. And then they absolutely smash the Washington Commanders. So, hey, home field advantage does mean something in the NFL playoffs. But if we do look at that game yesterday, because there were monster plays all the way through, Kevin, because for me, already struggling with my voice today. Had a three-hour show this morning, doing an hour radio. It's going to be nice just to get some relaxation for the rest of the day because I am a 10,000-step guy in the house during football games. I'm running upstairs. I'm running downstairs. I'm walking around. I can't sit down, and I'm always screaming at the TV because there were chances for momentum to swing in opposite directions. Now, the one thing that did help the Eagles out, right, the 3-0 kick there, okay, 7-3, they got that. Immediately, Zach Bond comes back, forces a turnover. It's 14-3, and like, okay, the Eagles might be in a runaway. But as we know, ebbs and flows, and good football players can get back into football games. The Philadelphia Eagles let the Commanders back in. It's 14-12. They stop the two-point conversion. But even though you see the Eagles counter, every single time Washington did something positive, the Eagles responded with points. Or even, Kevin, at the end, the beginning of the second half, you know, Pops is watching the game. My daughter's downstairs. I go, understand this. This is a massive drive for the Philadelphia Eagles coming right out of the gate where you let 3 points go on the board for the Commanders late in that first half that shouldn't have been there. The Eagles took back-to-back sacks, punted the football, and said, I know where this game is going to turn if something doesn't happen. And Jordan Davis got a massive sack on second down to make it like 3rd and 20, and they got off the football field. But every time, Kevin, you needed a big play, like even at the end of the first half, the kickoff where the Eagles forced the fumble, like somehow they continually do, got that and then punched in a touchdown. Whenever Washington was like, ooh, we can get back into it, the Eagles stole that momentum right back.
Yeah, they 100% did. The defense was opportunistic, to say the least, within that game. The Jaden Daniels touchdown drive, where he finished it with a rushing score, felt fake. I was like, this doesn't count. Like, that's how it felt, legitimately. Like, it was like, and then you look up, you're like, the game's kind of still going on here, right? And you wonder, it's like, maybe that's why the Eagles defense kind of let up, because really, in that moment, it felt very...
I hate when they do that. They did it in the Rams game. It's like, we're lights out all game long. And somebody on Twitter, who on my timeline, put out a tweet like, Eagles, just play normal defense. So I go, this is funny. And then that drive was like, swish cheese, swish cheese, swish cheese, swish cheese, touchdown. Like, what is the deal out here? So, yes, I agree with you.
But I just think, Donnie, like, here's the thing, man. Sometimes, like, you should take pride in being right about a football team. But I think since the Eagles are our football team, there is that level of frustration watching people be so wrong about them, right? We really led talk shows, not ours. We're not fools. With what's wrong with the Eagles offense? Can the Eagles offense pass the ball? Can the Eagles offense hang in a shootout? For them to then put up a record-breaking performance in the NFC Championship game. Those people should be embarrassed. I mean, they should be mortified. They should be absolutely mortified. Like, you know, people will probably try, and I know we're going to get to the AFC title game. I didn't say Mahomes was incapable of playing great football. I said he's not played great football. And if it'll be interesting to see if he can turn it on. I also expected Buffalo's offense to be very good yesterday. Buffalo's offense scored 29 points and left a lot of points on the board with extra points and things of that nature. I don't feel, maybe people will disagree, that at any point I thought Kansas City wasn't a legitimate contender. We're leading Eagles victories, breaking down if their offense is even good. It's insane.
Still going to do it. still going to do it into next week. I don't know if you could trust Hurts. Hurts basically on one leg was like, you know what? My offensive line, even though we're basically down two starters on the offensive line, I'll go 20 of 28, one touchdown pass, no interceptions. And by the way, when you're talking about massive play calls in games, like I sitting in my living room, Kevin, screaming at the TV at 14-3, where Washington was punting, going like, they can't punt this football. Like, the game feels like it's over once they punt this. Like, I was so happy that they didn't get that pass completion on third down. Like, this is great. I knew that fake was coming. They executed great. I was like, okay, game on at this point, and away you go here. So there was some of plays like that where you said, like, ooh, that's going to be questionable. But you know what the biggest play of this game was? 14-12, fourth down, and five. The Eagles put their offense back out there. And you want to talk about A.J. Brown going, I'm taking your number one corner to the cleaners right now. Jalen, just give me a pass. Beautiful ball, beautiful call, game changer. Washington stops that. Could be a different game. But the aggressiveness for the Eagles go, oh, I can throw the ball, and he can catch the ball, and I'm going to roast your cornerback, Marshawn Lattimore. By the way, that was their key acquisition midway through the season. He got torched the entire season rest of the way out. What a miss. And we'll get to the shenanigans in the game, but talk to me, Kevin, about fourth and five, Jalen Hurts, he can't pass the ball. What a dime to A.J. Brown, which basically was like, okay, we're here to stay.
Well, I don't – how many times does Jalen Hurts have to do this for people to stop asking if he can pass? Post-bye week, he was third in the NFL in passer rating. That's a passing-only statistic. And second in yards per pass attempt. That measures your passing efficiency. I mean, I got a buffoon yesterday yelling at me in between breaks about his EPA per dropback on the shut up. That's so stupid. Enough. Worry about your situation then. Because you don't understand this situation. How many times does Hurts have to answer the bell? I don't understand. The Philadelphia Eagles, Donnie, have probably the best rush offense in NFL history. And people are wondering why Jalen Hurts has 125 yards and a victory.
Yeah. Will Shipley's 4 for 77. Just throw it in there. No big deal at that point. Saquon 15 for 118. Hitting home runs all over the place. By the way, is Kyle Shanahan now the Eagles now have the mantle of the explosive running game? Like, it's never going back to the Niners. Like, hey, Mostert hits home runs and McCaffrey. Yeah. The real deal running game is here. But there was a lot of other plays down the stretch here that we're going to get to in this Washington game. And then we're going to hit that Buffalo Bills Kansas City epic finish right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quinyon Mitchell. We're worried, including myself, ending that Rams game. Oh, my goodness. He's not going to play the following week, is he? Comes back, locks a lot of things down, gets his interception. His second one is a career pro. Other one also was in the playoffs. Great stuff there. Will Shipley is busting long runs late in the game. A lot of fun. It was a big party down at Lincoln Financial Field. But the one thing is that defense, every time they needed him to make a play, they made a play. Forcing turnover after turnover, punching loose footballs in big moments here. The minute you thought Washington was going to get back into that game, they absolutely couldn't. But that was the narrative coming in, Kevin. Like, I repeatedly said it late in the week as I got more confident about the Eagles. The Eagles defense is the best in the NFL. Washington's defense stinks. What am I missing here? Why does everybody like it? And the joke of it all is, like, FanDuel should have enough money now where they can lose every wager for the rest of this calendar year and still be profitable with 7 to 8 of every 10 tickets coming in. We'll get to the Buffalo Bills, but on the Washington Commanders. Like, just one last loop around this game, which I wasn't at the desk saying that the Eagles were going to win by 55-23 margin. I wasn't. I thought this game would be around a touchdown, but at no time did I say to myself, the Commanders are going to win this game. And I know you have the same narrative, and it's the same thing we come into. I tweeted after the game, nobody went to Packers are the best 7-seed we've ever seen. A hammer job. The Rams, Matthew Stafford, it's going to be snow in there. It's going to equalize everything. Up until the last, it got nervous at the end. The Eagles are dropping a hammer job on them. Nobody wants to face the Commanders. Nobody's ever doing this. They have Jaden Daniels, the best rookie quarterback we've ever seen. Absolute hammer job. So the thought process around the Eagles is lucky to be here at 14-3 in the regular season and running the gauntlet through two teams nobody wanted to see. And also, Kevin, here's where the narrative is going to start to come in. I just hope Commanders fans in the offseason don't act like, well, there was a holding penalty on Saquon that if that play had changed, the Commanders would have won the game. Because they'll keep that energy like San Francisco was running their mouths. You have to get beat by three touchdowns in Philadelphia in the NFC Championship game. But you know what I'm waiting for here? Man, that game was in Detroit, man. Detroit would have busted the Eagles in that game. Like, remember when New Orleans was talking that smoke about in 2017? Like, man, if they didn't get that Minnesota miracle, we would absolutely ran that town.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people have told themselves, Donnie, already about the AFC title game. It's like, that's the real Super Bowl. I'll tell you this right now. That is a big win for the Eagles that everybody treated that AFC title game like it was the actual Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it was it's an absolute big win. And I'll say this on the Eagles, and I'm gonna soften the stance because I don't want anybody to perceive this as a bit or I'm trying to rile people up. Mm-hmm. The Eagles are a win away from being one of the greatest teams in NFL history ever. That's where we are. If the Eagles, Donnie, win this game, right? To be one of the greatest teams in NFL history for real, right? You have to win a Super Bowl. If they win the Super Bowl, they will stop a team going for a three-peat. That right there is massive. We then look at the Philadelphia Eagles, and we look at the wins. There's a load of them. We look at the losses. Saquon dropped a win. Devonta Smith dropped a victory. And there's only one other loss, and it came in a game where they were missing Smith, Goddard, A.J. Brown, Lane Johnson, Mekhi Becton. They were missing half of their offensive starters on the road. It happens. Yeah. It's rare for a team, and it only cost them one game. God bless that early bye. The Philadelphia Eagles, now when you look around, right, have a lot of guys that, Donnie, are that Super Bowl trophy away from the resume looking a whole lot different. Lane Johnson, first ballot Hall of Fame. Saquon Barkley, people believe, soon to be Hall of Fame. What it does then for the perception around Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Nick Sirianni, Devonta Smith getting it done at the college level, the NFL level, the start that this would be for the defensive careers of not just Quinion Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, but Jalen Carter and all of those Georgia Philly dogs. I'm not saying this. Again, I want people to understand, this is not meant to be some type of hot take. I'm being very serious. And these are the things that people haven't been aware of that have been sitting out in front of them. The Eagles are a win away from being one of the greatest teams in NFL history.
Yeah, could stack it up there. And by the way, like, look at the Commanders, right? Because I think their future is bright. I've always liked Dan Quinn as a defensive coordinator. He doesn't have the horses yet. Maybe he gets that done. Jaden Daniels, we're just expecting him to be fantastic throughout his career. Maybe he will be. And certainly the expectations are he looks like he's pretty good. I still can't get over their uniforms, Kevin. I need a rebrand of the Commanders. The Commanders, number one, is a terrible name. Number two, they don't have the same color scheme that they used to have as they were the Redskins at the time. I'm not asking them to go back to the Redskins, but can we get that W off the helmet? Can we just get that stupid looking
Should we go
W
back to the football team?
No, never going back to the football team. That's even worse than anything they've ever came up with. I need a rebrand of the Commanders. Maybe we can help them. Let's flip it over to the AFC next right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, yeah. AFC Championship game. The winner of this wins the Super Bowl. Why even go to New Orleans? Just end it and hand out the Lamar Hunt Trophy and the Lombardi Trophy at the same time. But a tale as old as time. Kansas City Chiefs at home for an AFC Championship game, looking to get to a Super Bowl, favored by under 3 points, handled their business. Now, let's go ahead with this game and see how it actually played out. Because I started with this notion where we talk about sometimes the fallout of football games. And you say, man, Josh Allen, great quarterback, never could get over the hump. Lamar Jackson, great quarterback, never could get over the hump. Well, I don't think anybody's ever seen a juggernaut like Kansas City compared to just like the Patriots, where you are just blocking great football teams and players from getting there because you are that great football team of all time as they're trying to win their third straight Super Bowl in the salary cap era, which is ridiculous. And by the way, nobody's ever won three. Now that you actually have, you know, even parity throughout the NFL as they try to, it's an unbelievable feat. They were unbeaten at home, unbeaten in the playoffs, now headed to the Super Bowl. But heading into this game, for me, I never gave the Buffalo Bills a realistic chance at winning this game. That I think would have been like, oh my God, the Buffalo Bills won 32-29. Like, they're a good football team. They won. But I didn't waver, Kevin. The minute that line came out all the way through, my stance was the same. The Kansas City Chiefs with Andy Reid fully healthy with Patrick Mahomes at home, I didn't see them losing, and they didn't.
That's true. They didn't. You know, I think it was a super close game, and, you know, they've consistently won the close games. And, you know, if you want to say it was a mistake by me to... the thing is I didn't expect the final score, Donnie, to be a three. Like it always seems to be, right?
Yeah.
But yes, like they constantly win the close games, and we know that that is what they do. I guess it's just, it's an odd breakdown for me a little bit, Donnie, because I think there's moments that we can talk about that were really important game-changing moments, but I think any of those conversations will feel like I'm trying to take credit away from Kansas City, and I'm not really interested in doing that. I'm not. KC won the football game. Their defense wasn't great. Their offense was pretty good. I'll say, I guess here's what I would say. And yes, I understand I picked Buffalo to win the game. But I do hope people understand how the Bills' defense does rate out relative to what is on deck for Kansas City. Like that's, and maybe I'm trying to run away, Donnie, from a pick that I lost, but I look at this game and I can only now think about it in terms of Kansas City and their next matchup. Like, did you have a major takeaway? Because like it is, I guess, just more of the same. The Chiefs-Bills result.
Really good Buffalo Bills team. Didn't matter because the Chiefs, when they need to win football games, they just win them. Now, when you look at this game all the way through, like Josh Allen, 22 of 34, 237, two touchdowns, no interceptions. Now, sometimes you can look at those numbers and say, that's really good. Like I saw somebody tweet, Josh Allen had seven turnover-eligible plays, which Kansas City just wasn't catching footballs and nonsense, and he was diving over piles and fumbling and getting it back. There were some crazy things, but he didn't turn it over. James Cook had 13 for 85. If you'd have just told me that statistic in this football game, I would have told you the Buffalo Bills won that game. Because then he said, you know what, you have ammunition. You know, Josh is going to get his yards, which he wound up with 39 and a couple for the backup guys. But you figured things would be on par. But also understand this. In the biggest games, you need good players. Like, I actually thought there was an advantage for the Buffalo Bills at tight end to win in this game by using their tight ends. Both of them were absolutely brutal. We'll get to that final catch of the game, but that's neither here nor there right now. You can't have Mac Hollins be your top dog. He had a great catch for a touchdown, the 34-yard touchdown. I get that here. Finished with 73 yards. Keon Coleman, nothing. Amari Cooper, nothing. Shakir did his 6 for 46, which again was below his actual receiving prop in that game. James Cook, 3 for 49, did everything you can ask for. The same MO entering into the season was like, oh, this is interesting. Getting rid of Stephon Diggs and going to Keon Coleman as your guy. And I applaud them for making the move to get Amari Cooper. He's absolutely washed at this point. So that was disappointing for me, where you wanted to take that net positive at wide up, like, hey, young rookie, let's see what he can do. And also get a veteran number one, where if they show us any semblance of something, they're a positive. They were a net negative, those two in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that maybe then it's like they scored 29, right? Mm-hmm. But when Buffalo needed a play, every time it was like, well, we hope Josh can just pick it up, right?
Yeah.
And I think that is where you saw the lack of special players around Josh rear its head. You know, the final play of the game, you know, one, Josh completely misread the blitz. But the route that Shakir ran, right, Don, like the little zigzag in the backfield.
Yes.
I feel as if that was somebody with more name power than Khalil Shakir, Josh might have made that throw. Like, I do wonder if in some capacity there's Josh's trust is in within himself. Like, there are times, like you talk about the Hurts football to AJ, right? Where that throw is, as much as Jalen's trusting himself, he's trusting AJ Brown, right? Yes. So I think there is some of that within the game, ultimately, for Buffalo there. You know, I'm very interested in that, the the Kansas City and then the separation that still ultimately isn't there. You know, Donnie, they didn't score in the third quarter. I know Buffalo chewed up a lot of time.
Yeah.
Like, there were aspects of it for me. Like, that's like the more of the same. The game was more of the same. It was a very close football game. I understand Buffalo recovered the fumbles. There was, you know, there were some momentum swings that went Buffalo's way, but also the fourth down play. Come on, what are we doing? That's insane. He, one, everybody thinks he got it. Two, they had two different spots. And then we ended up going with the spot that had it marked short. Like, what did you think of that? I found that to be just...
Yeah, it was and also, I did preface this by saying this too, and understand this. Like, they get the touchdown, Buffalo, 22-21, force the punt right away for the Kansas City Chiefs, then take that football. It's like, oh my goodness. Like, if they can drive down and get any amount of points, now that pressure gets ratcheted up on Kansas City. And for the fact that you got a somewhat shady spot on third down, which I don't know if, I think it was Kincaid got the first down or not. They marked him short. Yeah. They marked him at least a half yard short than where he should have been anyway, which would have been the tush-push a little bit closer. But understand this, like, 50-50, like, tied to the runner in Major League Baseball. The quarterback hikes the football and disappears into the line. It's an automatic first down. It's always has been. And the fact that it was, and unless, Kevin, you make that quarterback sneak lose yardage, you always get the benefit of the doubt, and they gave him no benefit of the doubt there. But also, with the complaints of, man, that's ridiculous, game end. No, the game didn't end right there. So we're saying if a quarterback sneak it forward, get the 1 yard, and then drive down and kick a field goal, it's a four-point game. No way Kansas City can come back with tons of time on the clock. Like, that didn't end the game, but it didn't help them at that point, certainly.
But it was a big swing. Right? Mm-hmm. Buffalo had the opportunity to double them up in that moment, right? Which Buffalo wasn't really able to do within the game. You're up 22-21. You get the first down. You're in their territory. That is a big moment. You're right. It's not the only moment of the game, and it would be crazy to treat it as such. But it was a very big moment of the game. But again, here's what I'll say. Josh Allen was uneasy all game, clearly. Like, and I don't know if Joe Brady was very comfortable. Like, but I don't know how much of it was Joe Brady's fault. Like, hey, quarterback sneak, fall forward. Josh is like, all right, on QB sneaks, I like to do a Rutgers step and go backwards 2 yards and then go. Like, what do you dude? Go forward, man.
Yes.
Then he jumps over the pylon. Apparently, Josh didn't understand the reason people do that at the goal line.
Yes.
Is because you're probably going to lose a football, but you just have to break the plane.
It's dead. Correct. Yes. And he fumbled.
He was playing. He was playing like a maniac, Josh, and that was the other problem within the football game. Some of that bet, like, he should have thrown multiple interceptions in the first half.
He should have in the first drive, first two plays or three. He was about to throw those.
Yeah.
But then again, the stakes were high. They tie the game on a 9-play, 79-yard drive. Let's go over the final few drives to end the game. What a weekend it was! It's Moneyline on a Monday, right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yo, right back at it. Buffalo Bills, Kansas City Chiefs. And as promised, yeah, this game, Kevin, 29-29 late. You say to yourself, all right, we just punched it in. We just tied that football game. Now let's see if we can go out there and hunt. 6-play, 51-yard drive. Kansas City puts points right back on the board. Like, if you want to stop it, if you want to beat the champ, that's where he sees the momentum. You three and out him, and you take control. Then comes that final drive of the game for the Buffalo Bills. And for me, Joe Brady got his butt kicked on that drive. And this is why Steve Spagnuolo might be the best defensive coordinator in the sport. Fourth and five when you need it, Kevin. He didn't just say, you know what, zero blitz, everybody's coming. I hope that somebody gets home and we have a miracle play on the back end because three guys are open. We hope he just can't find them. He brings one or two extra guys there and three guys come available to pressure Josh Allen the minute that ball is snapped. Josh Allen, the athlete he is able to make a play and throw a Hail Mary-like type withering fly ball into a storm of Chiefs that finds its way home to Kincaid. And he just can't make that catch. It's a tough catch. You're asking me, probably told you he'd make it 9 out of 10 times. But being there, done that in that spot, in that weather conditions where they were at, still a tough catch. He should have made it. But Steve Spagnuolo is outrageously talented. And if you would have just had a play call that would have had slide protection and blocked it the right way, and you could have sat back there for 2 seconds, they would have had a first down and we continue to move. But I thought that play call by Spagnuolo was so spectacular to ruin that entire concept of a play. And that was the game in itself right there.
Yeah, I think for me, one, it was a little bit more about Josh completely mishandling the play than the decision by Spags. Because Josh said that, like, Josh one said he sent the offensive line the wrong way. Meaning,
look like
Josh
slide left.
Not only that, and then he runs into the pressure, right? So, that's what I mean by that. Like, Josh went, okay, I know what I'm seeing here. And it was literally the exact opposite. And then if you are in a, I've made a mistake here, I would think the safety valve would be Shakir, right? Not, hopefully somebody down there saves me. And it's interesting, right? Because we go, what a throw by Josh. I mean, I get, again, like the things with people get credit for. Like, he threw it to a spot Kincaid was there. Did he see? Because that wasn't Kincaid's route, right? But, like,
come back.
Kincaid could have caught it. So one, to me, but two, I can't remember anything like this in my life. Third down, and if there is a fourth down, it is everybody that has watched four Chiefs games goes, Spag's going to send a blitz.
Yes.
That shouldn't keep working then, Donnie. I'm sorry.
It always does. It always does.
But that then to me is what's going on with the play callers, right? We don't have blitz beaters. Like, that's not one plus one for me, Donnie.
No.
I'm just
like
saying.
Patrick Mahomes would see that, call the slide protection, and be like, wow, Kelsey's wide open. Fourth and five, first down.
Brady, right? Would have been like, oh, man, you're doing this
again? Eat this
again?
For lunch.
Okay.
Peyton Manning.
Yeah. That's what they used to say about Daniels. Jaden Daniels going in. But I'm serious. Like, they're like, yeah, you can't keep blitzing Jaden Daniels. Right? Like, the ideal, everybody knows the ideal defense, Donnie, is to get home with four. Spags is out there playing the not ideal defense, and every team's like, not sure what to do about it. Like, that's crazy.
Like, you never hear this. Like, all right, fourth and three, biggest play of the game. Spags is everybody. They all drop back. It's a three-man pass rush. Never. It's like avalanche pass rush, and it always works out well. Well, that's where the game ends, specifically because they still have three timeouts left, and you can't just keep Patrick Mahomes down. That's, if it's third and five to win the football game, he gets it every single time, and they did there. And I know a lot of people angry after the game, like, got to see the Chiefs again. So from a perspective of, like, Super Bowl itself and us being Eagles guys, and you saw the way the last Super Bowl turned out, I actually, Kevin, didn't have a preference on who the Super Bowl was going to be from a, can my team beat this team? I just actually wanted Buffalo because it's a fresh dance, and the fan base will be excited and something new to talk about, where it's, boy, it seems like we just get pigeonholed. Like, I mean, I haven't been at Super Bowls all that long, but I've been doing content all the way through. Like, there was nothing, like, the New England years of dominance were so horrific because they were the most boring possible team that you can have. Now, Kansas City, not as boring because, you know, Andy Reid has personality, Bill Belichick had zero. Patrick Mahomes is a phenomenal athlete, and he'll give you some takes there when Brady gave you nothing, and the Patriot way, and they got some flamboyant guys, and, you know, Steve Spagnuolo is somewhat likable at that point. But from my fandom perspective, I didn't care who the Eagles played, but I just wanted the Bills there. I thought the Bills would have been a really interesting, fun topic. Like, we were in Los Angeles, like, whoa, we got the Rams and the Bengals. Like, at least this is something like, hey, it's kind of interesting here.
Yeah, what I would say is my confidence in the Eagles beating the Bills was somewhat displayed in yesterday's game. The gap between the Bills defense and the Chiefs defense is comfortable. And I didn't think that Josh would be able to light up Philly's defense because nobody does. But secondly, I've said this many times. I find Kansas City to be very off-putting. The early Kansas City run, Donnie, they were the best show in football, right? Now we hear, man, the way Mahomes is winning with defense this year, that's garbage, and that's annoying to me. So, that's kind of where I'm at. I would tell you this. I like to do it for me because it's what we're going to talk about all day. Mm-hmm. I was up last night. I stayed up post game doing a lot of breakdowns of Eagles Chiefs, right? You know, we have the numbers. I really like the Eagles in the game. There's a number of reasons. We have a lot of time to get into them. I am now trying to figure out how to balance my Philly Super Bowl futures, mm-hmm. my propensity to hedge, to just be smart about the betting market, but the fact that I like Philadelphia in the football game. And I'm trying to figure out what that balance ultimately is.
We got 2 weeks. We got 2 weeks to get it right. And by the way, if you guys are hearing now, because you guys like to follow through, the boys will be boots on the ground in New Orleans throughout the week. But you might not see a ton of live coverage from the boys that week, which does include Moneyline, which I'm assuming is not going to be active, at least me and Kevin. Moneyline will certainly be in a bracket probably in the morning with maybe somebody else. We get those marching orders tomorrow. But we got a week to get ready with you on the air, then a week in New Orleans, and then the Super Bowl. My goodness. Football season coming to a big close here. It's Donnie, it's Kevin, it's Moneyline on a Monday. Be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Super Bowl LIX, Super Bowl Licks, Super Bowl 59. Anyway, you want to twist it. It's New Orleans. It's the Caesars Superdome. By the way, I guess we're going to get some ideas on what that week is, but we are eligible to go. It's sort of not East Coast time. It would be what, Central time in New Orleans? We have to go to opening night, Monday night, don't we?
I think we will be out there. I think we will be out. You got questions loaded? You got things you want to ask people?
But like, because we haven't been, or I haven't been the one, I should say, the opening night. I want to say in Vegas, Kevin, it was at the stadium, correct?
Ooh,
I think it was.
I don't know.
Was it Allegiant?
I didn't.
Where else would
I didn't
have been?
Go, but yeah, you're right. But yeah, I don't. Yeah,
there's a
where
lot
else
of
could you
there,
really?
I don't
house
think it was like
that.
T-Mobile. Yeah, I don't think it was T-Mobile. The reason I bring it, where was it in Arizona? In L.A. Where was opening night in L.A.? Or were we still going through COVID and they didn't really want to do that?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Because I'm saying this right now. I think it would be because, you know, we can, our day might start a little bit more appropriate than what it started the previous times on the West Coast swings. But I really want to go inside the Superdome. Like, I've seen that thing since I was, you know, mid-1980s as a kid. Like, that place is like the fifth wonder of the world, sixth wonder of the world. I want to go in there. So if there is opening night is at the Superdome, I want to be there. Like, where else would it be, though?
Yeah.
Smoothie King Arena?
Announced? I imagine that would be announced already, right?
You can look that up here. Let's see. So we got like open. I think it's called NFL opening night, I want to say. Is that what it's called usually?
You know better than me. Here we go. Fueled by Gatorade. Yeah, it's at the Superdome.
Oh, we're in. Yeah, we're in. What day is it? Monday. It's usually a Monday, right? To start the week?
Yeah, Monday, February 3rd.
Yes, we're in.
From 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Central.
Yeah. We'll go from 5 to 6. Perfect.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Who knows what team is in there? We're definitely in on that. I need to be in that building to look around, take pictures.
Who's it, Don, if there's one person, each football team, right?
Mm-hmm.
A little off the beaten path where you're like, you know what? I feel like I could have a good question. Yeah,
Will Shipley.
Good answer.
Me and Will. Nobody's really around them. May not even paying attention to the guy. Let me corner the market, Will Shipley.
That's
who would
really
you go for the Chiefs? Give me a guy on the Chiefs. Maybe he can set aside. At least he's chasing down Noah Gray. Like, what's he doing out there?
Yeah. I do think Pacheco I could probably have some fun with.
Yeah. Rutgers guy, Jersey.
Yeah, I think I'd say, hey, you're a little disappointed in Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey this season.
Yes. See that?
Were you expecting a little better?
Knock them off guard. I like this guy's game right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that would be because you got to imagine Pacheco be a little off the beaten path this year, right?
With
the split backfield.
You're right. You're right. But he's still a name on that team. Like, there's the booths that the important players get, and then there's the players that get like a seat like on the side, and Shipley's in that seat on the side. Like, that's where I'm trying to aim. Like, maybe we might be able to get like a Reed Blankenship. Like, Cooper DeJean might still be a little bit be off to the side.
Yeah,
like the bigger players are up there. But I think, like, Will Shipley would go fully unnoticed. Or unless you want, like, a Britton Covey. You know what I mean?
Now, Now, Jordan Davis, honestly, I might just sit down and be like, listen, man, let's just talk some food, all right?
Yes.
Like, what's the pregame meal? What's the postgame meal? Like, are you and all the dogs tight? Like, did Howie secretly go to Georgia? Didn't tell anybody. What did you think of Georgia this year?
On Sunday.
Yeah. Jordan Davis would be right up the list for
just
me.
Just a mountain of a man. Yeah, that would be fun. Like, coaches, maybe get Stoutland on the side. He can answer a couple questions. Like, you know what I mean? He can line up in your stance. Like, did you set your feet correctly on this one? Like, you'd have a good time asking him that. That would be a good one.
I think that would be the more interesting thing for me, I think, than running up to Kelsey and just being like, hey, man, you know, what do you think's the key for success this week?
Exactly.
Like, I would ask Kelsey, like, hey, man, you've been listening to the new Gracie Abrams or what?
Yep,
like, are you exclusively Taylor?
Like, yeah, do you approve of the opening acts for your girlfriend's tour? I mean, get somebody in there. And by the way, unpopular take for me, what are we doing with this halftime show? Come on.
Whoa.
Yeah, come on.
Wait, explain yourself, because I'm like, interested to hear your reasoning.
I need superstars. I don't think we're getting a superstar.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a take.
Yeah, like
that's
Rihanna,
a take.
Superstar. Superstar. This year,
Kendrick was the biggest name in music probably this entire year.
But here's the thing, like,
online to not know that.
No, but see, I know Kendrick Lamar. I don't hear any of his music anywhere, anytime I turn on the radio, except for his pedophile song. That's it. What I heard. Is that what he's singing? Is that the lead in the Super Bowl? Is that what we're doing? This way, that's how we ended on Moneyline. You better tune back in tomorrow, people. For JP Behind the Wheels, is still Donnie and Kevin. See you later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.